Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This is what happens when you ensure that the state of Missouri does not require a permit to carry or to purchase, does not require any restrictions on people who've been convicted of intimate partner violence, does not ban assault rifles.
One dead, 22 wounded in the Super Bowl parade shooting in Kansas City. We'll take a look at Missouri's gun control laws, some of the weakest in the country. The shooting came on the sixth anniversary of the Parkland, Florida high school massacre. We'll speak with a Parkland father about his son, Guac, and his new art project, Shotline, which will call lawmakers with AI-generated audio messages featuring the voices of gun violence victims like his son. Then Australia's parliament approves a motion calling for the release of imprisoned WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange.
This will be the time for all of us to take a stand, to stand up and to take a stand, and to stand with Julian Assange, stand for the principles of justice. Friends, stand for the principles of media freedom and the rights of journalists to do their job.
Assange is facing a critical appeal hearing in a British court next week, his last chance to challenge his extradition to the United States, where he faces 175 years in prison for publishing classified documents, then to Gaza and to the phone call that reverberated around the world.
Officer, yes!
Yes, in the car. We're next to the tank.
And could you
see? Are you inside the car?
Hello.
We'll look at the case of Hind Rajab. The six-year-old called for help after a family was shot and killed by Israeli forces. 2 weeks later, their bodies were found alongside the two rescue workers who tried to save her. We'll speak with the Palestine Red Crescent. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Russia state media is reporting imprisoned opposition leader Alexei Navalny has died at the age of 47. Prison authorities said in a statement earlier today Navalny felt ill after going on a walk and lost consciousness. They say medical staff was unable to resuscitate him. The cause of death has not yet been determined. Navalny's spokesperson, Kiri Yarmish, said on social media their team has not received confirmation of his death and that Navalny's lawyer was traveling to the penal colony located in the town of Kharp in the Arctic Circle, where Navalny is serving a 19-year sentence on charges of extremism over his criticism of Russian President Vladimir Putin. The prison, nicknamed Polar Wolf, is among the harshest in Russia, due in part to the severe winter. Navalny has been imprisoned since 2021 when he returned to Moscow after an assassination attempt with the nerve agent Novichok in 2020. Navalny has been hailed as an anti-corruption crusader who is willing to stand up to Putin and has also been condemned for his past ultranationalist comments. In Gaza, Israel's attack on Khan Yunis's Nasser Hospital has killed at least five patients after electricity and oxygen supplies were cut off. This is a hospital volunteer describing the forced evacuation ahead of Israel's incursion.
99% of the people in Nasser Hospital evacuated. There are nearly 20 members of the medical staff still there. There is tension still. There is no protection or safety. Quadcopters are everywhere. Even ferocious dogs, which have monitoring cameras around their necks, are in the hospital in an aggressive way.
This comes as fears mount over a planned Israeli ground attack on some 1.4 million people in Rafah. Even the U.S. has said the move would be a disaster without a realistic evacuation plan. The U.N. and others say there's no plausible way to evacuate Rafah.
Evacuation to a safe place in Gaza is an illusion. We need to push back on the calls that we're all hearing from the authorities to say, you must help us move the people of Gaza to some safe place. This is an illusion.
Israeli airstrikes on Rafah continue to kill Palestinian civilians. This is the mother of one of the victims speaking earlier today.
My daughter's husband is from the Zarbi family. She died with all her family. I live in Miraj and she lives in Rafah. When I heard the news, I started screaming, asking my children to take me to see her. But they told me, where should we take you at night? Stay here. I told them to take me to see her, but they said that she was unrecognizable, and I said that even if it was only her flesh, I wanted to see her.
Close to 29,000 Palestinians have been killed and over 68,000 wounded in Israeli attacks since October 7th. Over 130 journalists have been killed in Gaza since October 7th, according to the local media office. The Committee to Protect Journalists says some three-quarters of all journalists killed last year died in Israel's assault on Gaza. Of the 99 journalists killed around the world in 2023, 72 were Palestinian. Students at Stanford University are ending a months-long sit-in to demand the university call for a ceasefire in Gaza and divest from Israeli companies complicit in war crimes, among other things. Stanford officials had started cracking down on the action, which began in October, threatening to arrest and discipline students who camped out on campus. But the school finally agreed to two meetings with the group to discuss their demands, leading to the decision to disband, the longest continuous sit-in in Stanford's history. New York Judge Juan Merchan ruled that Donald Trump's hush money case can proceed, setting March 25th as a start date for the first ever criminal trial of a former U.S. president. Trump's lawyers had sought to delay the trial, claiming it'll interfere with campaigning. Trump will be required to attend the trial, which is expected to last 6 weeks. Meanwhile, New York State Judge Arthur Engoron is expected to rule today on the $370 million civil fraud case against Trump for inflating his business's net worth to obtain more favorable loans. This comes as Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis took the stand in Georgia. Defense lawyers are seeking to remove Willis from the sweeping election subversion case against Trump and his allies over her romantic relationship with Nathan Wade, the top prosecutor in the case. Wade also took the stand Thursday as both parties denied any wrongdoing or any financial benefit from their personal relationship, which they say ended last year. Fannie Willis sparred with Trump defense lawyers throughout the contentious hearing.
You've been intrusive into people's personal lives. You're confused. You think I'm on trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial.
In other Trump news, the GOP frontrunner repeated his threat against NATO allies that he says do not pay enough into the military alliance. At a campaign rally in South Carolina Wednesday, Trump said, quote, if they're not going to pay, we're not going to protect, okay? Unquote. Vice President Kamala Harris is addressing the Munich Security Conference today, where she's expected to reassure NATO allies following Trump's remarks. Special Counsel David Weiss has charged a former FBI informant with lying about President Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden receiving millions of dollars from the Ukrainian energy company Burisma. Alexander Smirnov was arrested Wednesday at a Las Vegas airport. The Biden's alleged illegal involvement with Burisma is central to Republicans' impeachment inquiry into the president. In Russia, anti-war opposition politician Boris Nadezhdin acknowledged his chances of running for the presidency against Vladimir Putin next month, quote, have plunged completely to zero, unquote, after Russia's Supreme Court rejected legal challenges to his disqualification. Nadezhdin's candidacy was thwarted last week when election authorities claimed there were irregularities in some of the signatures collected for his application. He said his campaign had nonetheless been successful in advancing an alternative to Putin.
We have opened up a great breach. We have shown that a huge number of people in the country do not support the course that is being implemented now. A huge number of people want Russia to be peaceful and free.
Senegal's Constitutional Council Thursday overturned President Macky Sall's decision to delay this month's presidential election, ruling the move unconstitutional. President Sall, who served the two terms allowed under Senegalese law, ordered the election be postponed until December, triggering deadly protests, plunging Senegal into political turmoil as his opponents accused him of orchestrating a constitutional coup. Senegal's Constitutional Council urged authorities to reschedule the vote as soon as possible. Greece has become the first Orthodox Christian country to legalize same-sex marriage. It's the 16th EU country to legislate marriage equality. The measure, which passed a parliamentary vote Thursday despite opposition from the powerful Orthodox Church, also grants same-sex couples equal parental rights, including the right to adopt. Members of Greece's LGBTQ communities gathered to celebrate the historic victory.
I'm very happy. As someone who grew up in the countryside, this is a dream I've waited for many years, just like all of us. Literally, I am at a loss for words. I'm no longer a second-class citizen. We have the same obligations, but now we also have more of the same rights.
12 survivors of sexual abuse and trafficking by Jeffrey Epstein are suing the FBI for failing to protect them. The 12 unnamed plaintiffs say the FBI ignored tips and complaints about Epstein and his close associate Ghislaine Maxwell for over 20 years. Epstein died by suicide in a Manhattan jail in 2019 while awaiting trial on federal charges. Ghislaine Maxwell is serving a 20-year prison sentence after being convicted in 2022 of helping Epstein recruit and sexually assault teenage girls. Climate groups have sued the Biden administration over its failure to adequately assess the public health impacts on frontline communities and its five-year plan for offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Advocates say residents in the region already suffer disproportionate health burdens due to the toxic pollution produced by federal offshore oil and gas leasing. This comes as the American Petroleum Institute has also filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration, demanding officials greenlight more lease sales, despite dire warnings of the impacts on the climate and people's health. Meanwhile, researchers estimate over 125 million U.S. residents will be exposed to unhealthy air contamination by 2054 due to intensifying wildfires made worse by climate change. In related news, scientists warn worsening wildfires, deforestation, and warmer temperatures could permanently destroy the water cycle sustaining large portions of the Amazon rainforest in the coming decades. In a study published this week by the journal Nature, researchers say that between 10% to nearly half of the Amazon's ecosystem is at risk of transitioning from rainforest to savanna by the year 2050 unless deforestation is dramatically reduced and urgent action is taken to curb the worst impacts of global warming. This is one of the study's lead authors, Bernardo Flores, a researcher at the University of Santa Catarina in Brazil.
Once we cross this tipping point, we cannot do anything anymore. And then it's useless to stop deforestation, to try to stop. We may not even be able to because the forest will die by itself. So, I mean, it's time to red alert.
And a new report from the Center for Climate Integrity reveals the oil and plastics industries have deceptively promoted recycling as a sustainable solution for over half a century, despite knowing plastic recycling is not technically or economically viable at scale. The report, titled The Fraud of Plastic Recycling, uncovers new documents showing companies like ExxonMobil and the plastics industry have pushed a misleading public campaign for decades, helping fuel the plastic waste crisis in order to keep making money and avoid regulation. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Police in Kansas City, Missouri, say it was a dispute between several people that led to the mass shooting at Wednesday's Super Bowl victory parade. One person was killed. The popular community radio host from KKFI, Lisa Lopez Galvan, who is a mother of two. At least 22 people were wounded, about half of them children. Kids in Kansas City had the day off from school to attend the parade. The motive for the shooting spree is still, quote, actively being investigated, unquote. No one has yet been charged. Police initially detained three people, including two minors. The adult was reportedly released. Witnesses described the chaos at the parade in an interview with CBS News.
You hear the gunshots and, you know, initially in my head, I was like, oh, you know, fireworks. But then it clicked. Yeah, I was in the military. So then immediately it clicked. I was like, oh, no, that's gunshots. And I was like, oh, gunshots.
And I looked at each other and ran.
And towards. Yeah, we looked down and you could see the crowd start to run away. And then we saw people start to drop to. Sorry. We saw people drop to the ground, and it was just a surreal event.
In the first 46 days of this year, there have been 49 mass shootings in the United States. Almost 5,000 people have died from gun violence this year already, according to the Gun Violence Archive. Missouri has some of the weakest gun control laws in the country, with no universal background checks, no assault weapon restrictions, no ban on large capacity magazines, no waiting periods to purchase a gun, and no domestic violence gun laws. Last year, Kansas City set a new high for gun violence. And the city has one of the country's highest murder rates. Residents held a vigil Thursday night.
You gotta protect us. I'm scared as hell. I don't want to go to any more events if this kind of thing's gonna happen.
Lord, we're hurt. We're saddened. We're angry. We're confused. And seemingly lost.
Because we're all hurting in our own way. We're all grieving in some way. In the face of darkness, our resilience will shine brightly. Remember that we are stronger than this moment of despair.
That last voice was Kansas City Mayor Pro Tem Rihanna Parks Shaw, who became the first Black woman appointed to the position last year. For more, we're joined by Brittany Packnett Cunningham, an activist who's originally from Missouri, host and executive producer of the podcast Undistracted, joining us now from Washington, D.C. Brittany, welcome to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us. If you can respond to what happened in your home state and talk about the gun laws of Missouri.
Well, Missouri is a state where, unfortunately, pregnant people are not allowed to have any autonomy over their bodies. And yet we don't trust those folks to make decisions about their bodies, but we do trust folks to be able to purchase a gun without a permit and wield it almost anywhere. This is what happens when we continue to see a legacy, a very long legacy in Missouri, of a Republican Party that is more concerned with protecting themselves in the rural areas and the mostly white areas from those of us in the so-called urban cores, who are most often Black, then they are actually about the safety of all of their constituents across the state. So this, unfortunately, is not surprising. As you've said, we've had over 46 mass shootings in America and far more community violence every single day. And as my friend Shannon Watt says, what we saw happen in Kansas City was a uniquely American hell.
So if you can talk specifically about Missouri and these laws, whether it comes to people who've been involved in domestic violence getting guns, whether it has to do with being able to enforce any of the weak gun laws that they already have, Brittany.
Absolutely. So the gun laws in Missouri place Missouri at number 48 on the Gabby Gifford scale in terms of the quality of gun control laws. That's 48 out of 50. There's not much worse the state could be doing. And that is because of efforts like the current one, a bill on in the state legislature right now that wants to allow people to open carry on public transportation and in houses of worship, adding to the already long list of where unpermitted people who had no wait time, who could buy a gun through a gun show loophole, can wield these weapons at the danger of often children and young people who are just trying to enjoy their day, as we saw at the parade. These kinds of laws in Missouri are expansive because, as you say, they don't even restrict people who've been convicted or charged with intimate partner violence or domestic violence. And we know that this is often where we see gun violence. There's also a great incidence of suicide by gun in Missouri, rather. And that's not even taken into account. Often we hear Republicans talk about the mental health crisis, but and that being the real culprit in the gun violence epidemic in America. And yet, in Missouri, we see that if you have been seen by a court to not be mentally incompetent, that you too can restore your gun rights. So none of the math is mathing. None of these things are adding up from a party that claims to value life and clearly devalues life when it comes to its permissive and pervasive gun laws.
So let's talk about the comparisons you make between the very loose gun laws in Missouri and why you feel it's important to compare that to reproductive rights laws and how people are treated when it comes to issues like abortion.
Well, I think it's important because for decades now, the Republican Party has been presenting themselves as the party of family values, that they believe deeply in the sanctity of life. Well, if we really look at history, we know that the opposite is true. We know that the so-called Christian rights fight against abortion rights is actually rooted in the fact that they lost their fight to preserve segregation in America, and they realized that politically they needed more numbers. So they got together with people who don't believe in healthcare and other who don't believe in birth control, rather, and other religious backgrounds to create those numbers and to start a 50-year campaign to overturn Roe versus Wade, which unfortunately has been successful. You mirror that supposed belief in the sanctity of life against gun laws that are not only allowing for the proliferation of guns, but are very clearly causing catastrophe and chaos in the streets of days that are supposed to be a day of celebration. And the hypocrisy is apparent. So this has never actually been about the sanctity of life. It's never actually been about family values. And we constantly are calling out that segregation, that hypocrisy, rather. But one thing is clear to me, that hypocrisy, it doesn't matter to the GOP, that they have no shame about that. So what we have to do is make it absolutely disqualifying if you are going to run for office to accept any money whatsoever from the gun lobby and to be someone who is proving yourself to purport and push these kinds of lax gun laws at all costs. That should not be allowed in any state legislature, at any governor's mansion, at the federal level, the local level. Those kinds of beliefs, that kind of donation should be disqualifying from the work that our public officials and public servants are supposed to be doing.
Can you talk about the NRA's influence on the governor, Mike Pearson, on Senator, for example, from Missouri, Josh Hawley?
Absolutely. You know, Mike Pearson's legacy, unfortunately, is one of cowardly obedience, that he has fallen in line with all of the beats that the Missouri GOP has forced him into and has been doing for a long time. So there's been a long line of Missouri governors, Missouri senators that have followed the beat of this drum. That is Roy Blunt, who preceded Josh Hawley in the Senate. He was one of the top recipients of NRA money during almost the entirety of his Senate career. Josh Hawley, of course, who followed him and who famously ran from the violence that he stoked, just like Mike Parsons did at the parade that day. Josh Hawley has received $1.4 million from the NRA. So Mike Pearson, Josh Hawley, Roy Blunt, and so many others are simply falling in line. Now, Mike Parsons can't run for governor again So he's there to keep the status quo in place until the GOP brings in the next person to do exactly the same. And unfortunately, these kinds of influences and that kind of money will continue to pervade not just Missouri, but the entire country if we allow it to.
And finally, the terrible loss of the KKFI programmer, the well-known DJ, Lisa Galvan. She was a DJ on KKFI, the community radio station in Kansas City. KKFI, well-known for giving voice to grassroots activism, to communities, the fact that she is the death as a result of this mass shooting that took place in Kansas City during the Super Bowl parade.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, it leaves a massive hole in the city because her listeners, her audience, that community was really held together by so much of what she talked about, so much of what she communicated, the kind of information that she was intentional about sharing, despite the fact that it would push against the status quo. And those are the kind of voices that continue to be cut down in this gun violence epidemic. You know, it strikes me that that mass shooting was on the anniversary of the Parkland shooting, which means that we're literally layering gun violence anniversaries on top of one another. That is that uniquely American hell. It hit Kansas City, it hit her, and it hit the entire community and will continue to reverberate until something is done about it. There were 800 uniformed law enforcement officers at that parade. And because police are only ever set up to respond to violence after it's happened, they did not actually prevent that tragedy despite their massive presence. So we have to take a serious look at what true public safety from the ground up looks like instead of over-policing from the top down. And part of that has to be ensuring that the flow of guns into our communities is stopped. It is absolutely the guns. And everybody who wants to make it about something else is missing the point entirely.
Brittany Packnett Cunningham, activist, host, and executive producer of the podcast Undistracted from Missouri. You mentioned Parkland. We're going to go right now to the anniversary of the Parkland High School shooting. We'll speak with Manny Oliver, the father of Guac, one of the 17 killed 6 years ago on Valentine's Day. Stay with us.
The devil's tongue is long and rotten. Do you remember, or have you forgotten the games we played? It's all the same, it's all the same.
Devil's Tongue by Mira Wagner. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. The mass shooting in Kansas City came on the sixth anniversary of Parkland, Florida school massacre when a 19-year-old gunman shot dead 17 people, injured 17 others at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. To mark the anniversary, gun control advocates traveled to Washington to play for lawmakers a series of AI-generated audio messages featuring the voices of students killed in Parkland and other gun violence victims. This is an AI-generated message from Joaquin Oliver, who was shot dead in Parkland at the age of 17.
Hello, I'm Joaquin Oliver. 6 years ago, I was a senior at Parkland. Many students and teachers were murdered on Valentine's Day that year by a person using an AR-15. But you don't care. You never did. It's been 6 years and you've done nothing. Not a thing to stop all the shootings that have continued to happen since. The thing is, I died that day in Parkland. My body was destroyed by a weapon of war. I'm back today because my parents used AI to recreate my voice to call you. Other victims like me will be calling too, again and again, to demand action. How many calls will it take for you to care? How many dead voices will you hear before you finally listen? Every day your inaction creates more voices, If you fail to act now, we'll find someone who will.
The AI-generated audio appears on a new website called The Shotline, which aims to flood the congressional hotline with the AI-resurrected voices of murdered kids. On Wednesday, Joaquin Oliver's parents, Manny and Patricia, were set to appear on CNN to talk about their new project when news broke about the shooting in Kansas City.
We had an entirely different interview that we were going to do here just to talk about some of the work that you guys are doing on Capitol Hill, trying to bring about awareness and change. And you see this happening as you were here visiting Washington. What is on your mind as you're watching this?
Not surprised at all. It's like literally we interrupt this interview because we have another mass shooting going on, and then you might be interrupting that one because it was going to be another one. So it never.